Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. Well, welcome to our Facebook event this morning. I want to remind you that if you want to be a part of live worship through our online community, jump over to tulsafbc.org, click Watch Live, and at 8:30 on Sunday morning and 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, you'll be able to join worship that is happening live in person. You can join that online. But if you want just the message and if you want a message to share with others, then this Facebook platform is perfect for you. So recently I was over at a friend's house, and my friend is really into thoroughbred racehorses, and I'm not. I never really have thought about racehorses and thoroughbreds, but my friend is into racing, the memorabilia, the history, and he said something that I found to be utterly fascinating, that when a thoroughbred racehorse dies, they don't bury the whole animal. That's a large animal. They bury only the head, the heart, and the hooves. And think about what each part represents. The head represents the intelligence of the horse. The heart represents the courage, and the hooves represent the speed. They bury the most important parts of that horse. The rest is cremated. As my friend was sharing this with me, I instantly went to that greatest command of Scripture that God gives first through Moses and then Jesus echoes, that we are to love the Lord our God with the most important parts of who we are, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, with all of our intellect, with all of our courage, with all of our speed, we are to love the Lord our God. So I'm going to zoom out. This entire year for our church, I'm asking five questions. And these five questions, I'm not trying to give answers to them, but in answer to these, or in response to these questions, I want to give a little bit of clarity. And the first question that we have been asking is all about loving God with the most important parts of who we are, loving God in worship. And the question we've been dealing with is, what in God's name are we doing here? As we gather every week, as Christians have for 2,000 years, as we gather every week to worship, what in God's name are we doing here? And so today I want to give some clarity to that question. We are worshipers of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a member of First Baptist? When I say, follow me as I follow Christ, what does that mean? That means that we are committed to be passionate worshipers of Jesus Christ. We're going to unpack that clarifying statement here a little bit more in just a moment. But first, I want to take us to the Scripture. In fact, I want to take us to two samples of Scripture that talk in no uncertain terms about what in God's name are we doing here. The first is Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And I know these verses well because I first memorized them in high school. And I memorized these verses in terms of fellowship, the community of believers. But a closer look reveals that this is not just about fellowship. These words are about worship. So here's what Hebrews 10 24 and 25 says, consider very carefully how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So let's just unpack that scripture for just a minute. Let's consider how we may spur one another on. That word for spur one another on literally is the Greek word for irritate. So I wonder how many of you in the Tulsa area, we've been kind of snowed in and iced in for the last 2 weeks. I wonder how many of you, your family members have begun to irritate you. And you know what's really irritating? Not just when someone irritates us, not just when they push our buttons, but when they know what buttons to push and they intentionally do those things and they irritate us purposefully. Do you know that we can irritate one another in a negative way, but we can also irritate one another, agitate, we can also incite one another in positive ways. And that's what the community, the worshiping community of the church should be. We should be spurring one another on. We should be inciting one another toward three things, says Hebrews 10. Love. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love. The world has enough negativity. The world has enough anger. The world has enough spite. We are to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Because the world is in need, we spur one another, we irritate one another, we incite one another on toward doing good. So I want to give you a Lenten challenge. We are now in the season of Lent. Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and for the 40-some-odd days that run up to Easter, it's a special season of reflection and repentance for Christians as we approach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And typically, Lent is about giving up something. But instead of giving up something, I want to challenge you this Lent to give something away. So here's the challenge. I want you to keep some money in your wallet. And let me tell you where this comes from before I ask. I have a good friend in Alabama who's now with the Lord. He would carry $100 around in his wallet. And he would always carry a $100 bill, and he would give it to whoever God told him to give it away to. Can't tell you how many times I prayed that he would think of me and give it away to me. But he set an example for me to always carry a little bit of extra money in my wallet, and when the Spirit prompts, just give it away. So for the 40 days leading up to Easter, could I encourage you to keep $40 in your wallet? And if you can't afford $40, make it $10, make it $20, make it $5. Carry that money in your wallet until you see somebody in need, until the Spirit prompts you, give it away. A way of practicing spontaneous generosity, a way of practicing spontaneous good works. So you see what I'm doing? I'm spurring you on toward love and good deeds. Just to carry a bill in your wallet and to be sensitive to God all day, who can I serve in your name? So let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. So a worshiping community, we should be about encouraging one another to stay in touch with God and to stay in love with people. Sometimes if you have a moment, go out on YouTube and look for the name David Brown. David Brown is the world record holder for sprinting in the Paralympics. So he is blind. He's a blind sprinter. And every year during the Paralympics, they have an event where sprinters compete against one another. But the question is, how do you sprint? How do you run when you're blind? Well, these world-class athletes who happen to be blind are tethered to a sighted sprinter. And it's interesting to watch David Brown train because the person who sprints with him, a man named Jerome Avery, they have to move as one person. Their wrists are literally tied to one another. And when they take that inside step, they both have to take that step in rhythm. And their outside legs have to take place in rhythm. They have to run as one person. As you watch this video about David Brown, I want you to notice a couple of things. I want you to notice how Jerome Avery is not just running with him, but also talking to him while he's running. He's saying, come on, let's go, try, try, try. He's voicing encouragement. The second part of the video that I really like is when the two cross the finish line together, Jerome Avery actually pulls back a half step at that last moment to let David Brown cross first. It's a beautiful thing to watch, and it's a beautiful picture of encouragement. This is what we do. What in God's name are we doing here? We are in worship, spurring one another on toward love, toward good deeds, and we are encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching, the day when we are finally in heaven, the day when we are finally with Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, if I find in myself some desire that this world cannot satisfy, then the most probable explanation is I was made for another world. We are made for another world. But right now we are in this world. And so what do we need? We need in worship to spur one another on toward love, toward good deeds, and encouraging one another until that day of Christ finally comes. So that's one piece of scripture I want to take us to today. The second piece of scripture is actually from Colossians 3, and I want to read this particular passage. This is Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, okay? And it talks about rich worship. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, or dwell richly among you. In all wisdom and teaching, admonish one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So that verse, Colossians 3:16, talks about rich worship. You know what rich worship should lead to? It should lead to rich living. Because verse 17 says this, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I like another translation here. This one says, through words and deeds. Another translation says, our rich worship should flow out in words and in works. So I want you to consider those both for just a moment. Words. We've got something to say to our world. We have something to say. If I've been disturbed by anything this last year, more so than the pandemic, it's been the proliferation, need to practice that word a little bit more, the proliferation of conspiracy theories. There's so many conspiracy theories floating around our world right now. And I guess what has concerned me most is how easily people are drawn into conspiracy theories and how easily we share those. And even for Christians, we seem to be sucked into conspiracy theories more easily than we acknowledge the truth. Here is the essential truth of the universe. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. If we are more passionate about any conspiracy theory than we are passionate about that truth, then we are off center as followers of Jesus. And that is the word we have to give to our world, not a word of fear or warning, but a word of hope that Jesus Christ is alive. So our rich worship should result in rich living, our words and our works. I read last week about a pastor in Virginia. His name is Robbie Perkins. He had his bicycle stolen from him, and he was angry because his bicycle was stolen. But then he started thinking about it, and he realized that maybe somebody stole his bicycle because they lacked adequate transportation. So he did an all call on Facebook for everyone who had an old or broken down bicycle that he would fix them up and start giving them away. And so as of today, he's given away 140 bicycles to people who need a better mode of transportation. I hate to say that if that were me, I don't think that would have been my response. I think I would have stayed angry. I think I would have looked around who stole my bike and tried to get even. But what he did, he decided to help out even more. It brought out the good in him and not the bad. Rich worship should lead to rich living. That we have something to say and we have something to do. We have words and works to offer to our world. So I'm going to pull all this together. For the last 6 or 7 weeks, we have been asking the question, what in God's name are we doing here? So let me add some clarity to that with a simple statement, that we are worshipers of Jesus Christ. When I invite our church family to say, let's follow Jesus, when I invite us to say, here's what it means to be a member of our church, when I ask you, follow me as I follow Christ, what does that mean? It means that I and you should be worshipers of Jesus Christ for 3 reasons. Number one, worship pleases God. Now that should be enough. That's probably the only reason we really need is to know that we worship because it pleases God. What did Jesus say in John chapter 4? Worshipers is what God seeks. But is God seeking worshipers just because he's an egomaniac and he wants to have all the attention for himself? No. God wants worshipers because he knows we work best as individuals in a relationship with him. So my car runs best on fossil fuel. If I put gas in my car, it runs as it's designed to run. But let's say I say, you know what, I don't need that anymore. My car can run on sugar and water, and I put sugar and water into the gas tank. The failure will be catastrophic. because my car was not made to run on sugared water. We are not meant to run on anything else but a worshiping relationship with God. And when our relationship with Him is right, and we are in that worshiping relationship, then our lives run as they should on the pure fuel of God's powerful presence in our lives, and that pleases God. So we are worshipers of Jesus Christ because it pleases God. We are worshipers of Jesus Christ because it encourages others. I love what the colonial church did in one regard. The colonial church, the early churches in America, you'd actually rent a pew. You would pay the church a certain amount of money every year, and you would kind of own that piece of property for the year. I'm not wanting to go back to that. And families would put boxes around their seats. They would have literally box seats in churches. But when they would go in and sit down, they would light a candle in their pew. So ideally, if everyone was there, the entire church was lit up. But if somebody was missing, that part of the church would be dark. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how worship serves not only to please God, but serves to encourage other people. How worship can encourage our children, that our children know that God is a priority to us, not just when there aren't sporting events going on, but all the time, that worshiping God is a priority for our family. Think about how worship encourages other people on Sunday morning. This may surprise you to learn this, but I don't always feel like coming to church on Sunday morning. I wish I did, but sometimes my feelings conspire against me. So when I don't have those feelings, what I do is I borrow some encouragement from the other people around me. There are one or two people that I watch on Sunday morning, and when I see them engaged, it encourages me. And all of a sudden, I do feel like worshiping because I've borrowed strength from them. What in God's name are we doing here? We are worshipers of Jesus Christ because it pleases God, because it encourages others, and third, because worship fulfills the purpose for which I am created. There's the old Westminster Catechism. It says, what is the purpose of man? The purpose of man is to know God and to enjoy Him forever. That is the purpose for which we were created. And listen, the question for each of our lives is not, will we be worshipers? The question for each of our lives is, what will I worship? We are worshiping machines. We are wired to worship. We will worship something. And maybe you just have an honest moment right now. If you were to look at the way you spend your time and your money and your priorities, if you were just to fill in this blank, I am a worshiper of, don't give the church answer. What is it that you really worship? By how you give yourself away, that your priorities will say what you worship. But listen, if you call yourself a Christian, if I call myself a Christian, if I'm a member at First Baptist Tulsa, if I really do want to accept this invitation this year, what I've given to follow me as I follow Christ, what does that mean? It means that I am a worshiper of Jesus Christ because it pleases God, it encourages others, and it fulfills the purpose for which I was created in the first place. So when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, the civil rights movement was struggling, to say the least. And now Martin Luther King Jr. was dead, and there was great concern about what would happen to the civil rights movement once he was gone. So at Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral, several speakers spoke that day, most notably James Bevel. James Bevel got up, and as he began to speak, he said this. He said, there's a rumor going around that our leader is dead. And he paused for a long moment, and he said, our leader is not dead. And he let those words sink in. And then he said, our leader is the one who is with Moses as he led the children out of Egypt. And somebody responded, that's the man. And he said, our leader is the one who is with Daniel in the lion's den. Somebody else said, same man. He said, our leader is the one who walked out of the grave. Our leader has never lost a war. Our leader is alive and well today, and his name is Jesus. Listen, if we're followers of Jesus, He is our leader. He is not dead. He is alive. And we worship Him. We are worshipers of Jesus Christ because it pleases God, it encourages others, and it fulfills the purpose for which I am created. So I want to give you a direct challenge. In the last year or so, the world has changed significantly. And people have pulled away and people are living behind screens now more than ever. Can I encourage you? Can I outright challenge you that if your only connection with our church is through Facebook, it's time for that to change. It's time for you to get up off your couch. It's time for you to get up out of your bed. When you have the vaccine or when you're ready to be around others, you need to be a part of a worshiping community. And if it's not First Baptist Tulsa, you find another church for you to be involved in, because what a computer screen offers, it offers a bit of connection. You might feel like you know me or whatever, but it does not offer the deep connection that we need with other people following Jesus. So this online platform is meant to be a tool to connect you initially with the church, but it's not meant to be something on an ongoing basis. You need other Christians, and you need to be a worshiper of Jesus Christ because it pleases God, it encourages others, and it fulfills the purpose for which you were created. I want to challenge you to think through what you're doing, why you're doing, and what needs to change. Today, maybe you're joining us for the first time. You can jump over to our website, tulsafbc.org. There's a couple of buttons if you're ready to make a decision. If you're not a worshiper of Jesus Christ and you're ready to say yes to Him, or maybe you just want some more information, there's some buttons you can click. Send me some info. I will contact you personally. Our staff will contact you personally this week. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And may God grant you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. And may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.